Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday morning. See, I did it again. Two segments, two times, letting you know what day it is, just in case.
Proud of you, kid.
A lot of you are going, what day is it again? Today looks exactly like yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. Let's head down to close to where I am. Chris Massaro, the athletics director at MTSU. He is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Darren. How about yourself?
Did you know, just be honest, did you know what day it was until I just said it right at the beginning?
I appreciated the prompt, but yeah, I was a little bit aware. Yeah.
So what has it been like for you and your family? What has it been like on the university? We haven't had a chance to talk to you yet, so let's just start there. What has it been like to this point, with all of us doing things differently these days?
Yeah, and I mean, it is different for us as a family. Two of my kids are in college, and so they're back home taking their classes remotely. So, I mean, just so... And to them, it's a little bit of a prison sentence. You know, the spring semester is supposed to be the fun semester. You know, and they're stuck with mom and dad kind of taking their classes remotely and being socially isolated. So I get it. I get it with our student athletes and kind of what they're going through, because I've got two in my own household that are the same way. But, you know, those are small sacrifices we're all having to make. So I hope we flatten this curve soon.
Yeah, that's funny. So your kids, yeah. So they could be in school, in college, with their friends, and instead they're at home with mom and dad.
Yeah, it's like Shawshank here. You know, I mean, the meals are a little bit better, but that doesn't really make up for the other stuff.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And I've got a daughter that's a swimmer, and she's a Division II swimmer, and so she was a national runner-up last year and kind of trained all year for the meet. And one day before her events, and she was at the nationals, but that's when they canceled everything. So she had a little bit of a sacrifice as well. So you know, everybody's got those stories. And so, you know, but again, I those are small in light of what's really happening.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you mentioned until things got canceled. So, once again, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since that week for us was a strange week of shows. There's no manual on how to handle everything that was going on our end. Like, storylines were changing every hour, every day, sometimes every segment something was happening. How about in your world? Because that had to have been a really fluid situation with how, you know, you guys, who you have to talk to as an AD and figure out what you're going to do for your school, what the conference is going to do. Just kind of take us through that week. What was it like?
Yeah. And, you know, in some ways we were fortunate as a group of athletic directors in Conference USA, because we were at our conference basketball tournament in Frisco, Texas. So we were able to meet with each other kind of collectively. And Darren, what I kind of remember most about that is we spent a lot of time deliberating on decisions that ultimately didn't matter, you know, and so as we went the first step, like, do we still play the games and not allow fans in? And that was the plan A. Then, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about whether the pep band and the cheerleaders are part of that without fans, or they, you know, since they came on some people's charters and like Old Dominion, that they spent 2 days on a bus to get to the tournament, you know, and so how can you not let them in? So we spent an hour and a half debating that, and about 3 hours later, you get more information and you cancel the whole tournament. So, we just took all these steps and kind of these intermediate steps that quickly got washed away by the larger boom. And we were hearing rumblings from Indianapolis that they might perhaps cancel the NCAA tournament. And that was a little bit unbelievable. Like, boy, if that happens, it's going to really be reality. And sure enough, like a few hours later, that they pulled the plug, not only on those championships, but on the spring sports. And so then we have to meet again and talk about the spring sports. And do we pull the plug? Do we just try to do a little bit of a season and, you know, with the conference tournament, those kind of things? And again, at the end, those discussions didn't really matter. As you know, a day or two later, you get more information and you have to cancel those sports as well. So it was kind of a stair-step process, and it was a little surreal. I mean, you know, no one would think that the NCAA tournament and the Masters would drop like kind of back-to-back, you know, on that. So it was just it reminded me a little bit of 9/11 when everybody started canceling the games as a thing to do, because that was the debate. I was in the SEC at the time, like, do you play the games and show the terrorists, hey, you're not going to impact us? And that was one school of thought. And then the other school of thought is, no, that, you know, let's don't stretch our infrastructure. Let's take care of what's important. And obviously that was what ended up being decided. And in some ways that was easier because you could see an endpoint with the games being canceled. Here you can't really see an endpoint right now, and I think that's what frustrates everybody in the world, really, is that we all want this thing to be over, and there's just not a visible endpoint right now.
We're talking to Chris Massaro, athletic director at Middle Tennessee University. And Chris, I saw you talking about this I think it was Channel 4 on Sunday night. As you guys continue to try to work through this, as everybody is, there was a decision by the NCAA to allow seniors the opportunity who play in spring sports to come back for another year of eligibility. And, of course, the key is it was left up to each school to try to figure out the financial aid part of it. There's going to be some flexibility in terms of the rosters, I guess, and scholarship limits. But you had some thoughts on just particular situations at Middle. So take us through that process.
Yeah, and it's really a case-by-case process, Willie, that, you know, and it goes deeper than your own current student-athletes. It's also, you know, in my view, we have to think about the kids that have signed the National Letter of Intent and how do we communicate with them. And for instance, if you're a softball or a baseball player and you sign up Middle Tennessee because that shortstop is a upperclassman, a senior, so that spot will be open next year. Well, all of a sudden it changed on you, you know, and so try to be fair to that person as well. You know, so we're debating with our coaches and kind of what we're trying to do is go on a case by case basis. Who really wants to come back? Some seniors are done, you know, that
was something that jumped out to me, Chris, and maybe you can, because I actually saw Harrison Ray, a senior second baseman for Vanderbilt, kind of write a thank you note to the fans and to the players and everybody, and it sounded to me like that's the decision he made. I wonder how many seniors will choose that, just to say, I've loved my time here, but you know, maybe they're graduating, et cetera, and ready to move on. What percentage at Middle is that the case?
You know, we're still trying to dig through that. I think it's going to be about 50%. You know, and it depends on where everybody is kind of in their process. You know, and quite honestly, some of it depends on how much aid they get. What maybe the common fan doesn't know is, like, if you have a softball player and she might be on 30% athletic aid, well, if she comes back another year, that 70%'s got to be paid from somewhere, and is that a financially feasible thing for that person's family, and kind of given these economics as well. So So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made both by the student-athlete and their families and then also us as an institution. So we're just trying to gauge with each person kind of where they are and what their finances might be if they think they can make it go on their end, and then just to see where our numbers are to see if we can make it go on our end. So it's not as easy, Willie, as, you know, that one may think when you get this legislation passed, because there's a lot of moving parts to it.
With that in mind, you mentioned, you know, different student athletes are on different percentage of scholarship. In a perfect world, would you, and maybe these are the talks you have to be having with the university right now, would you like to be able to provide the same amount of aid to every senior that comes back, or is it realistic that there might have to be a little bit of a sliding scale depending on how much scholarship money the school is able to come up with?
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting question and one that hasn't been answered yet. You know, like a lot of our kids are on the Tennessee Lottery Scholarship, and that does have an endpoint. You know, and so will that kind of state aid still be available for these student athletes, and just what are the university finances going to be? You know, a lot of academic scholarships have a 4-year term on them, and so will that get waived? And so there's a lot of financial aid decisions that haven't been made, and quite honestly, that in some cases, that's a fairly low priority with what other people are dealing with now. So that there is a lot of speculation. You know, from a university point of view, when you start talking about enrollment in Division II and Division III, the model is if you want to increase your enrollment of your university, you start another sport. You know, and if you, again, like if you're doing a 30% scholarship, then that 70% is coming from outside the university sometimes, and so it's a revenue generator for the entire university. And so we're looking at that too, just as some of these kids that will that help our enrollment? Is that important enough for us to deal with and be an enrollment positive for the entire university? It might hurt our individual budget, but it might be best for the university as well.
Every school is different. So what of your peers, athletic directors you've talked to at different schools, what have their thoughts differed on their philosophy? What kind of variety of opinions are you getting there?
Yeah, and we have really daily Zoom calls with our conference ADs right now, just because the situations are so fluid. And really, it's a lot of people are in our camp. You know, what our school of thought is that, you know, we're on a case-by-case basis. Other schools have given each sport and say, here is your scholarship budget, you know, and boom, you cannot go over that budget. I don't care how you divvy it out, how you do it, but this is your limit, you know, and basically trying to hold them flat. So if you lose one scholarship money for next year, then you don't bring in one if you're going to keep one senior on somewhat of a full. Let's say it's 80%, then you don't bring in an 80% for next year, and you try to keep it all revenue neutral. So those are the two main school of thought. It's interesting, La Tech is in a unique situation because I don't know if you remember this, Willie, that last spring they had tornadoes that struck their campus and really wiped out their baseball track and softball stadiums. And so they've got a group of seniors that have their junior year disrupted by the tornadoes, and now their senior year disrupted by this. So they're taking a more lenient bent on kind of the eligibility and kind of restoring at least that their kids can have somewhat of a normal season sometime soon.
We're talking to Chris Massaro, the athletic director at the Great Middle Tennessee State University, and continuing this conversation from the financial point of view, you know, something that comes to my mind for any university, but especially yours, is with the spring sports being canceled, that's the gate. You don't have the gate now for baseball games or softball or any event going on your campus. So what are some of the conversations about not necessarily making it up, but, you know, dealing with not having that revenue coming in from not having these sports?
Yeah, and actually in the spring is for a shutdown is probably budget-wise one of your better times to do it. That most of your revenue is collected with your football and your basketball. The last piece of revenue that we really have is our last 2 or 3 months of our BRAA fundraising drive, and of course those are taking big hits right now, and justifiably as people are trying to evaluate their own finances. So that's the hardest part. What I worry about going into next year, like obviously people talk about football, but also with a school like ours and a lot of the schools, I would say probably 90% of the schools, that we are dependent on our student enrollment, you know, because a large portion of our budget, more than guarantee games, more than a lot of places, is dependent on student fees. So if enrollment takes a significant hit, then our athletic budgets will take a significant hit as well. So it's in our best interest in a lot of different fronts as a department is to practice all these guidelines that the CDC is saying, and so we can have a normal fall. And I would certainly encourage the listeners, because this thing is real, and the more the clock ticks, the more it's going to impact in the fall.
Well, and on that, Chris, you know, I know you have to think about it. I think everybody is thinking about, you know, how long is this thing going to last? You know, is there going to be some relief in the warmer months, and then is it going to come back when it gets colder? So in your opinion, what do you think the best course of action for the NCAA and for the conferences to handle football season is, or is there a correct answer to that right now?
Well, I don't think there is a correct answer. It's amazing I sort of feel like a fan that's watching gymnastics at the Olympics, that all of a sudden I see myself as a gymnastics expert and I'm grading the dismounts. And so I've had a crash course in pandemic spread, but I don't know enough to really know about timetables and those kind of things. So I'm hearing the same things and watching the same things as the rest of the country, you know, and trying to gather up as much information. So I think for all of us that we're telling our players to play like it's going to train like it's going to be normal, you know, and then we'll adjust when we're told to adjust. And that we will do that. I am confident of one thing, that I think there will always be a way to find a football season, you know, and whether that football season starts for our games on September 5th, I don't know whether it's October 5th, November 5th, December 5th, January 5th. I just have a feeling that everyone will find a way to play those games. There's so much involved. So, you know, just in the one little discussion we had on that is that what they'll probably end up doing is starting with the college football playoff, setting a date for it, and then working their way backwards to develop the college football season. And that, and so we'll just kind of ride along and see where this thing goes and have that kind of in the back of your mind. But it's a little bit, at this point, premature to really plan too much for it.
Chris, appreciate the visit. Hope your kids remain sane at home with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you doing this. And
I feel sorry for Cindy because I'm in her area quite a bit now. You know, so I try to sequester myself in a upstairs bedroom kind of that is make an office and those kind of things. And I really appreciate you guys and what you've done and your work through the tornadoes and kind of your work through here. And that you guys are all about Middle Tennessee and the community needs you guys. And I, as a sports fan, I really appreciate all that you guys do.
Thank you, Chris. It's definitely been a strange month of shows, for sure.
Yeah. Well, hang in there, guys.
We'll all get through this together. That's right. Well said. Good to talk to you. We'll talk down the road.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. You too. Chris Massaro, athletics director at Middle Tennessee State University, and we do appreciate the visit. We'll come back more on the other side. We'll wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams, and inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out turning on AI is easy but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.